Bye week. Needed it. Hawks needed it. A little comedy podcast, a little multi-topic episode here. Grant, Kevin, myself, we're going to just shoot the shit, have some fun. Talk Michigan cheating. No surprises there. A little top 25 action. Talk Halloween. Answer some questions from the Discord. Try and put together a nice entertaining hour for you. Let's have a day. Let's go.
In to the Washed Up Walk-Ons. We're having some problems. We're 466 episodes in, I believe. We're running into some tech difficulties here. Tech guy doesn't know what's going on. Internet. Everybody who went and dug lines for Gary's house, they came to my house and they cut the internet lines, evidently, because my computer will not connect right now. I'm on my phone. That's why you cannot see me. If you're watching the YouTube, shout out to all the new YouTube subscribers, thank you for following directions. And even if you are an avid listener of this in your car, you went and you went on your YouTube channel, you searched the Washed Up Walk-Ons, you subscribed for the numbies, for the boys, not because you're going to watch the video, but maybe you will, right? Maybe you will. Grant, Kevin, welcome to the show. Drake hasn't responded to us in hours. And we were trying to come up with odds on his likely demise. And Kevin said about plus 1,200, which we then related to being very close to basically Alabama's odds to win the national championship. And from a third party, I'd say they are pretty close.
I'd say there's value in either of those bets right there that we never hear from Drake ever again, or that, I mean, Bama's obviously not the favorite, but at plus. Still, you say they're 21.
I have them at 15-1.
15-1. Yeah, there might be a little value there.
Yeah, I mean it's still.
How many teams do you have with a better chance than that?
Probably eight.
4 to 5, I'd say. Really?
I can look at it right now. Like based off the, I'm just gonna guess every team in the AP poll is that's higher than them is also has better championship odds. But I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know though.
Well,
yeah, I think Michigan, Ohio State are above them odds wise. Georgia,
a couple of them are going to take each other out,
or at least 2 weeks ago.
Well, they're going to take each other out, but they still have better odds. Like,
I guess you're right.
The winner of the Michigan, Ohio State game has got a much better chance of winning it than
you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams that are higher.
All right. So we got Michigan, Ohio State, Georgia, right?
Okay. Yep. Those are the top three.
Florida State?
That's number 4.
Oklahoma?
Washington. That is number 6, and Washington is number 5.
Okay.
There we go. Crazy that Texas, who beat Alabama, has almost double the odds to win the national championship than Alabama.
Well, it's because they're playing from behind in the Big 12 championship now. They got to win the Big 12 championship to get into the playoff, right?
Yes, they definitely have to.
So that's probably why.
Yeah, it's just it's a margin of error kind of
thing. Does Oklahoma also not have to win the Big 12 to get into the playoff?
Yeah, but they already beat Texas.
That is true. They did.
It's the one loss again. Yeah. So maybe a good time to pull up the old, if you can, Gary, the old this week's Gary top 25.
Oh, I almost forgot. Here, let me go find it real quick.
Not as sadly, much. The Hawks are.
Yeah, not as much complaints about this one, I will say. The last one was very divisive. There was some people upset about it. But this is
it's what you want.
This is the new one heading into week 9.
Okay. It's just a good looking graphic too. I'm happy with what you're doing there.
Oh, thanks.
So you think the Washington win over Oregon is more impressive than the Ohio State win over Penn State, huh?
I think the season resume of Washington Washington has looked like the number 3 team in the country is what I mean.
Ohio State's got a big win over
they have two
Notre Dame too though
yeah
they do I just think I've had Washington higher than Ohio State all season. So like without a big reason to drop them, I'm probably not going to drop them unless like one of them loses. So
okay, Texas had a little difficulty with Houston over the weekend.
Yeah, but it's also it wasn't a loss. And like I think still like are you gonna drop them that like how much you do you not think they're a top 10 team?
No. I'm just saying I would probably put Oregon over them probably.
Interesting. Okay.
Now, Grant, when Liberty and Air Force go undefeated, will they be in your top four?
Liberty and UNLV are both the receiving votes currently.
Yeah, and they're gonna win out, and so is Air Force, and you're gonna have to put them in the playoff.
I wish I had a vote, by the way, for the college football playoff poll, but
I wish you did too.
I think as much as I love the group of fives, I would value the undefeated Power Five more than the undefeated group of five.
I'm saying what if, yeah.
What if what? If I were to put a group of five in, it would be JMU out of protest to the NCAA.
Where are they at in the AP poll?
JMU?
Yeah,
I think they're 25 in the AP poll.
Do you truly? All right. Never mind. So you this is resume based for you.
It's resume based.
It's like 90% resume and like 10%. I think this team's good.
Do you? All right. I understand this is resume based, but do you believe JMU at 17 is a better football team than North Carolina at 18?
Well, I mean, if North Carolina plays like they did against Virginia, then yes, JMU would beat them.
That's a fair point. That was a bad loss for them.
That is a horrendous loss for them.
I mean, yeah, I would argue that every single team on Grant's top 25 has a chance of like handling JMU, to be honest. Like 18 through 25 could easily all beat JMU. I mean,
you think Air Force is housing JMU?
I don't think Air Force is housing them, but I think USC certainly could.
I think USC JMU, if there was a line for it right now, it'd probably be like USC minus like two or three.
Really?
Well, I mean, like, look.
I think it'd be bigger than that. But
like, does JMU have some legit dude? Like, can they actually? Like, who has JMU played?
JMU has played the Group of Five schedule. Like, Marshall is probably their biggest game.
Okay. And they won that one 20-9.
They beat Virginia, but Virginia's terrible.
All right. It's just I know where Kevin was going with that question, and it is an interesting question. You run into issues, Grant. You start doing some rankings. Now you're starting to figure out the problems that this committee has each week where it's like, well, what do we do with them? They haven't lost.
Yeah, I mean, look, they went 11-1 last year and they're undefeated now. Like, they've just been consistently good. I'm not going to punish them.
I'm all in on them getting to play a bowl game, by the way.
I think they should.
But it is really difficult to rank a team, especially like them, or even someone like Air Force. Where you're like, okay, but what happens if you actually get matched up with LSU or Notre Dame, you know, a team that's five spots ahead of you? What does that game actually look like? And that's a scary game for the JMU or the Air Force sideline. Or maybe it isn't, right? Maybe they prove themselves, but it's always like such an unknown, which is really tough when you're ranking teams.
I don't know. I mean, obviously the opponents are different, but like from what I've seen from JMU, like I think they're actually a very good team. Like okay. They've been competitive for a long time. They were great in FCS as well for their little time there. But I don't think when people are going to see JMU on this, they're going to be like, "Who's JMU? I've never even heard of these guys." But like they're a legit team if you watch them. They're good.
Now, is James Madison a top 17 president? Like they are a top 17 football.
There's only been 46 of them, right?
Well, let me pull up my top 46 presidents real quick.
Yeah, I need Gary's top 25 presidents.
Can we get Gary's week 9?
Let me pull up the president's poll real quick. Hold on.
Who would you rank as a top president?
I'm a Teddy Roosevelt guy.
I was just gonna say he was. It feels like JFK was a pretty good one from what I hear.
Teddy Roosevelt, I think, is one of the most interesting people in the history of like the United States presidents and just the world.
You think that's why the bear is named after him, like a teddy bear?
It is 100% named after him, but I don't know necessarily the story behind that. But he was just a wild dude. Like, he saved football. The only reason this show exists is because of Teddy Roosevelt. He saved football. Oh, yeah, they were going to outlaw it. And he went
outlaw
in and saved
football.
Yeah, because it was crazy dangerous. Like, people were dying all the time playing football.
Oh, it's gotten exponentially more dangerous, I think.
Well, I mean, they, like, weren't even wearing helmets, and, like, two guys would collide in one.
You're right. Is it more dangerous now? I feel like, again, I get caught up in, like...
There's significantly less deaths than...
It was definitely more like, back then. That is a preposterous question.
I don't know, man. It feels like some of the hits these days, I'd rather get hit by the guy...
But no one's dying. Like,
well, not initially.
What do you mean initially?
Not on the spot.
Well, okay, eventually, like when they're like
everyone,
everyone's
given a long enough time frame, everyone dies.
What? This is news to me, Kevin.
Well, I can't tell what's sarcasm anymore.
I understand. I think I agree with you that obviously with advancements in the game and a focus on safety, it probably is a safer game these days. It's just hard to watch that, like, you know, that Niall Kinnick film of them running on, like, a, you know, they're playing it on an old, Jesus Christ, my phone's going to fall off the thing here. You know, it's like flashing by on a black and white, whatever they fucking call those things.
It's film.
Yeah. Like a film reel. And it just looks like they're running at half speed of today's game, but I know it's probably not that.
Yeah, I think the speed is a little different. Also, Teddy Roosevelt, I believe, was president before Niall Kinnick played football. I could be wrong. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was in the 1800s, right?
No. I think he was...
Or was it early 1900s?
I'm looking... He was president from 1901 to 1909.
If you want... You know, I already look and sound pretty stupid on this podcast, but if you really want to heighten that, just start asking me questions about the presidents and the and geography and any history stuff. And we can really widen the gap on how much people respect Kevin's intellect versus mine.
Oh, should I create like a – it's a shame. We should have prepared like a bi-week U.S. history Jeopardy show.
I would have been so fucked you don't even know. If anybody hasn't figured this out, by the way, in 12 minutes of recording, attempt at recording number two tonight after the tech difficulties. This is the bi-week podcast. We're going to talk about random shit. I was hoping Drake was going to be here. I don't know if you two prepared it, but Kevin mentioned at least a top three Halloween costume from your childhood. And I have those prepared if you guys have those prepared.
It's really easy for me, and I said top three instead of top five because there's only about three costumes for me to choose from.
I was going
to
say I think I only had four because I was a football player for like 6 years. And that's not the one that I'm including. I'm including the three other ones that I respect way more. Maybe we'll get to that. I think we'll have some awards winners. There's still games going on. Just because the Hawks aren't playing doesn't.
It's a big week.
It's a huge week. Unfortunately, I can't bet an Iowa under this week.
I don't know what you're gonna do, man.
I'm at a loss. I'm gonna have to figure it out on the fly. And then we had some questions that I planned on pulling up through Discord. Hopefully Grant can pull it up on Discord on his end that we might answer as well. But I'm happy to be here with you guys.
That sounded rhetorical on the pulling it up.
Regardless of how it sounded, I'm going to need you to pull those up.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean.
Right, yeah. I'm happy to be here. Still hot about the Iowa thing, but we're putting it behind us. It's time to put it behind us now. Drake has been trying to crucify Tim O'Day all week. I know we talked shit about him on the initial podcast. Evidently.
Good.
Evidently, he was not the one that made the call.
Yeah, that's what I read as well. It was the replay official who had the final call.
Yep. So, wrongly convicted by public opinion there, Tim O'Day. Still a fuckboy for the Jack Campbell thing last year. But, yeah, so that guy, hopefully he didn't – I mean, I'll be honest. He's definitely gotten death threats this week if I know the internet like I do, and undeservedly so. So
– Have we ever gotten death threats?
Have we? As a podcast?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I'm going to guess – man, you'd think I would remember it. I would say the most vile things that we've gotten sent to our account happened around the race stuff in 2020.
Yeah, that tracks. That makes sense.
I think we were called Nazis by a couple people. And I am German. I don't know if anyone's said that they were going to kill us, though. Don't think it's gotten that far. Keith Duncan got death threats after beating Michigan in 2016, which was
wild.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Then he also pissed off all of Nebraska with his little photo there.
With the kiss.
The kiss. That got him good and riled up too, right?
Yeah, Keith. Well, and the thing about Keith is he's just the perfect size, right? Like, somebody his size should never be on a football field. Hell, somebody my size should hardly be on a football field. That, you know, the kind of football fields we were playing on. And so when Keith, with all the power in his little leg, and the deciding factors that he was in multiple games for us, that really pissed some people off, and he had the behavior to go with it, and that got him death threats. We read through probably, God, I want to say 30 messages. Not all of them were death threats, but they were all very, very aggressive from Michigan fans the morning after in the hot tub.
Which doesn't make sense. Like, what did they want him to do? Not make the kick? Like,
yeah.
Right. Like, I understand. I mean, I don't understand it, but like, it's more understandable when you do something to piss off a fan base, like what sure. he did trolling the Nebraska sideline.
Yeah.
Versus, yeah, the kid made the kick. What he's literally supposed to do, you know, like,
well, and I assume most of it was from drunk people, at the exact time that it went through. Like, I'm drunk, it seems like a really good idea to tell this 18-year-old kid that I'm gonna come and murder him. I'm gonna come find him in Iowa City and quarter him.
They passed all the info on to the cops, right? Did anything ever come of that?
Dude, yeah. It actually went to the police. And what ended up happening? Funny enough, the following year, right, we play Michigan State at Michigan State in our senior season.
Yep.
And that same guy sent Keith a message like a couple months out, I'm pretty sure, from the Michigan State game that said, when you guys come to play MSU, I'm coming to the game, and like threatened violence. I don't remember exactly.
Bro, what? That is crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm talking months later, right? So this is obvious. I mean, maybe the guy's just perpetually drunk, but yeah, this one guy followed through. So when we went up to Michigan to play, this is a great story. I don't know how this has never been told. Maybe Keith didn't want it told. When we went up to play Michigan State, a game which we lost, by the way, a really shitty performance by the Hawks that day, we had extra secure, like Michigan State University police, like an extra like security outfit, kind of low key.
Looking over Keith,
yeah.
That's crazy.
Kind of crazy. They also, I believe Michigan State police, not Michigan State University, but the State Police of Michigan, contacted and maybe even made in-person contact with this person and said, hey, like basically shut it down and said, if you do try anything, like you're getting arrested. So it literally went that far. Isn't that nuts?
That's the craziest thing about that to me is that, I mean, shit, that would have been 10 months later.
Yeah. Yep.
Like to go back and think about that again, like, the game was literally almost a year ago. You're on to the next season, mm-hmm. and you're still pissed at a kid from another team for literally just doing what he's supposed to do.
That is the kind of fan that I'm talking about when I say you care too much about college football.
Yeah, I mean,
oh my God, I think my internet just loaded. Holy shit.
That, I mean, that's just pure psychotic behavior.
Yeah, like
that's mentally ill.
Yeah. And maybe I don't want to speak. Let's fucking go. All right. I'm going to be switching over to the computer here. But yeah, I do believe that there may have been something going on with him like that. So you guys talk. I'm going to switch over to my computer here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's insane. I had no clue about that. That's a crazy story. Have you ever noticed like increased police presence at other games? We're like, oh shoot, like what's up with all this?
Mm, No, not really. Maybe like around the big games, so like Big Ten Championship, Rose Bowl, bowl games in general. There's a little bit more police activity.
Yeah.
But no, I don't, like any just regular season game. No, no. There's the one state trooper walking in with KF, and you know there's police throughout the stadium, obviously too. But no.
I feel, I don't know if anyone else knows this or maybe I'm just totally wrong, but I feel like at Kinnick Stadium, at least in between the 21 season to 22, I feel like there's way more police at the entrances now.
Really?
Like right when you walk in, I feel like there's way more officers waiting there.
At the gates. Yeah. I have noticed that as well. Yeah. I don't think there used to be like one at the gate that I go through, which is kind of by the student section.
Yep.
There would be like one duo of cops like on the inside of the gate.
Yeah.
Like 50 feet after you walk in. Now I feel like there's like a couple at each actual gate that you walk in.
There's like six as soon as you walk in. There's a bunch. Yeah.
Just waiting to fucking crack down on you, Grant, for being drunk.
I honestly think it's for like because fans have gotten a little more rowdy and upset the past few years. So
I'm telling you, every week, and this isn't at college games, but there's been a few college too. I see fans fighting at every NFL game every weekend.
Oh yeah, that's a crazy phenomenon, right? And do you see it as much in college games?
I don't think so.
Is that just an NFL thing?
There's the occasional one, like with students. Like there's always like one, like police got to come break something up. I don't think it's like, there is a lot of times where it's like people are just throwing stuff and like it'll hit like someone or like a girl in the back of the head and starts a little brawl. But I don't know.
But Clue's right. Like you see the videos of full on fights every weekend at NFL games.
Some fat dude is getting knocked out with a haymaker in the popcorn line, like on the concourse of every NFL game every Sunday. It's hilarious.
Do you think that's because there's more away team fans at NFL games typically than college games?
It does seem like there's a good
college. They always have the away team sit in a specific section, right?
Yeah.
I don't think NFL teams do that.
That is the crazy thing about the NFL, right? So it's so saturated with just 32 teams that when a team travels, it feels like 50-50 at every game.
Not every game. Not even close.
Maybe like SoFi Stadium. But
It feels a lot closer though, because you've got fans of, when you have major cities involved, people are moving around for work. You know, you grew up in California and you were a Chargers fan, but now you moved across the country to New York and now you go to the Giants games. And especially, so it's like, it really is interesting. And I do think that that's probably, you're probably just looking at a math problem. Kev is like, you're increasing the volume of fans that are
increasing in opposing fan interactions.
Yeah. Yeah. And all throughout the stadium, like, you know, like versus they stick the Iowa fans up in the corner when they go to like, you know, Northwest, or I guess down in the corner when they go to Northwestern or whatever. I'd say that's probably it. I can't think of any other.
I love a good brawl video though. I love those.
Oh dude. When someone connects and it's just like two people who don't know how to fight, but one of those arm swings connects and it's like, oh,
there was one 2 weeks ago at the, it might've been even this weekend with the Raiders, where some dude just got the meanest uppercut right to the chin, just totally collapsed.
And then you see like their wives or their girlfriends try and step in.
Oh yeah.
And it's just like, oh my God.
My only advice would be, I'm sure if Drake was here, he'd echo that. It's like, if you're going to start the fight, start with the guy, the seats below you, not above you. You don't want to be fighting up.
The high ground.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like Fortnite, baby. You want that high ground.
It's like Star Wars.
Exactly. It's over.
It's over, Anakin. Shout out, Kate.
We talked a little bit about this on DHT yesterday, quickly mentioned at the end. But Kevin, I wanted to get your thoughts on it. Maybe expand on the conversation a little bit. How about this Michigan stuff, huh?
Oh.
What do we think about that?
Sounds like they're pretty guilty.
I mean, isn't it funny though to watch the Michigan fans like defend it and be like, well, but what violation? What did he actually do? Is there proof? Is there evidence?
I mean, it sounds like there's some pretty concrete evidence.
Yeah, sure does.
Pretty clear-cut rule that they broke as well. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I had one friend text me like, hey, are they going to ban him from the mission, from the Big Ten championship or in the postseason this year? I'm like, there's no chance that anything happens during the season, in my opinion. I don't know. But yeah, that's pretty significant. What did they do to the Patriots who were doing basically the same thing, right?
Was that with when they were like videotaping?
Mm-hmm.
Spygate.
At the practice, Spygate. Right? They sent somebody like to their open practice or something?
Let me find
that. But I think they were also doing it at games.
At games. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what the punishment was for them, which that brings up a whole other aspect of this is like, okay, does the NCAA really have legs here? Like, how much power does the NCAA have? Like,
I mean, they have the power to strip them of wins.
Yeah.
Ban them from the postseason.
I know. It just feels like
people, obviously, like Noah Shannon's still fucking not playing.
Dude, did you see? And real quick,
they have some power.
Before we get back to
balls, is what's really the question,
right? I guess that's what I meant. Before we get back to that, did you see that they postponed the meeting?
Yeah, I did.
How the fuck do you make that decision in the middle of a season when these guys are waiting? I mean, that's egregious.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they've got more important things to do, like count their money and
eat their meat in the NCAA cubicles or what?
Something like that, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate because he's already lost out on 3/4 of his last year.
Unreal.
And you know what? Maybe he'll get to suit up for the bowl game.
Fuck.
So in Spygate, the Patriots, so as Belichick was fined $500,000, the Patriots were fined $250,000, as well as stripped of their 2008 first round pick.
That's huge. That's actually big. So
it's pretty big.
I guess the equivalent in the NCAA would be losing some scholarships, right?
For 5 years, maybe. Yeah.
I don't know.
Definitely could take away like the last 2 years of wins on the official record.
So do you guys think there's one Big Ten champs
by proxy? Congratulations, Hawkeye fans.
Do you guys think there's any chance that Harbaugh goes to the NFL now?
I absolutely do think there's a chance.
I think that there was always a chance he goes to the NFL.
I think they're losing a ton of talent to the NFL this year too.
They've certainly built their program to a peak, and maybe, you know, who knows how much this cheating thing has actually, you know, we kind of speculated on that yesterday, Grant. Seems like since this whole cheating thing's been going on, they maybe got a little bit better. But yeah, I think with Harbaugh, there's always been a chance that he will leave for the league again. And I saw a lot of people like, Harbaugh to the Bears, you know, like, I think maybe Big Cat was tweeting about it.
I don't know like how he was a good coach for so long at San Fran. Apparently, eventually he lost the locker room, but like, I don't see how he would interact with grown men.
I was just going to say,
he's a weird guy.
Weird guy. He seems much more like a college coach. But maybe not. Oh, speaking of weird guys, is PJ Fleck fucking the pig back in Minneapolis?
PJ Fleck definitely had his genitals on the.
Did he sodomize Floyd in his own home? I feel so bad for that bronze pig.
Yeah, that
poor Floyd.
For those that are unaware and didn't see the article, PJ Fleck, like he does, made the pig all about him, and he took it home with him. Who does that?
It's fucking weird, man.
That's fucking weird. And then it came out, I think he's the one who told people this, that when they won the Axe versus Michigan, that trophy ended up in the bed with him and his wife, Heather.
Can you fucking imagine being married to this bozo?
No.
Honey, we're going to sleep with the Axe tonight.
Hey, you want me to start with the Axe?
Don't like it one bit. It makes me even more.
Or do you think his wife actually was like, hey, you know what? You've got that trophy. Can you bring up the Axe, picture of the Axe? I want to see if it could be used for...
It's a massive, massive Axe. I can't imagine any sort of uses that you are thinking of right now.
Fuck.
I say I think it's it might be 6 feet in length.
It's just a legitimate
axe. It's the size of a human. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's not like set on a base or anything. It's just a legit axe.
It's just a legit axe, it's a freestanding axe. Yeah.
I would not touch the non-blade end of that axe if I was in that.
I believe it's back in Wisconsin's possession right now. Where is this?
I think it's still in Minnesota.
Is it in Minnesota? Oh, Wisconsin had a rough year. That's year.
Like, this is an offensive lineman, or it might not be. Wait. Oh, it's not even showing up on the screen. That's embarrassing.
Oh, my.
Wow. Yeah, it's a big axe.
So PJ Fleck shoved that deep. Has markings on it, too. You can measure. Yeah, that's disgusting. I don't know what he's doing with the pig up there.
Don't like it.
I certainly... You know what the shitty thing is? Not the shitty thing. The embarrassing thing. The disgusting thing. Is I would not be all out completely flabbergasted if somehow it came out that he actually did something disgusting while Floyd was in the bed with them at their house. Like, that's the kind of guy that PJ Fleck is. I can't believe it.
Don't like it. Don't like it
at all. Yeah, but this Michigan thing.
Did you guys see the manifesto?
Yeah. What did you see that, Kev?
I obviously didn't read it. I saw that there's apparently a 550 page manifesto
of like how to take over the program.
I don't know. People with manifestos either become like the Unabomber or like the Karl Marx. Like the only people I know that like have manifestos.
What is the definition of a manifesto anyway?
Let's find out.
So again, for those who are unaware, evidently this Connor Stallions guy, great last name, just a fucking legendary last name. A manifesto is a public declaration of policy and aims, especially one issued before an election by a political party or candidate. I see. So this guy, with the help of two other staff members that are on his level, analysts, I guess, whatever you want to call them, they have this running document that's 550 pages deep. Deeper than that axe in PJ's wife. And of how to take over the Michigan football program. Like if
that's what it is how to take over. Like
it's like how to take
I'll take over.
It's like how to take over and how to further the Michigan football program.
Like if somehow they were hired as the head coach and higher staff. I don't know. I have no idea, but it's really weird.
This came out in the investigation that
somebody
leaked it from his laptop or something.
I have no idea.
I also saw that apparently the first playoff top 10 that they released, he bought tickets to watch every team besides TCU.
Oh, yeah. No.
Oh, yeah. So what team they played, he didn't scout them.
Fuck.
That's funny.
It's tough.
Yeah, but filming your opponent's signs is a big, big no-no. And
Kev, do you have any insight further than what I could describe as like what is legal and what isn't? Because obviously
there's no in-person scouting allowed at all in the NCAA.
At your opponent's games.
Correct.
So what that means, and so then Drake and I kind of talked about it, you still get film on your opponent.
You have to – What you do is you swap film. So
right.
Say we are playing Michigan this next week. We will ask Michigan's like, hey, can you give us the cut-ups of these four or five games or whatever? And they have to send it to you. So the home team is responsible for filming everything. Mm. And so they will ask Iowa for, hey, give us your last four or five games so that we can break them down.
Yeah.
And so that's just the mutual thing. It's like you swap film.
And you also get it from opponents that they've played as well.
Yeah. Yeah. You can, if you wanted to, like, say the offensive coordinator came from Boise State or whatever.
Yeah, yep.
You can go to Colorado State, who maybe played Boise State last year, and say, hey, can we get the film from your Boise State game last year?
Yep. So, like, when Kevin and I would pull up our film, we'd actually be watching, like, you know, we'd be watching.
The video team for the opposing team is who filmed it.
Right. So kind of interesting stuff on that end. But
and the people that say, oh, you can just see the signals on the film that you know, you can't.
No, you can't. You can't.
The film is cut to like within seconds of the snap.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be filmed from when you take the original formation
mm-hmm.
until the snap. Some teams that, especially Wisconsin, would actually always do this too.
Cuts it deeper.
So Wisconsin used to do a ton of pre-snap snap motion.
Yeah.
They would try to cut it until right before the snap. So you didn't know, like, oh, they start in this, shift to that, motion to this. So you get all your checks. But yeah, so all the signals should be in before the film is rolling or the cut-up is sent to you. And also, rarely are those people going to be even in the frame. So do you guys see that he that there was like laminations of all the signals? He's just walking around with him on the
side. Of all the arm signals, yeah.
How did that not get like out there earlier? No one thought that was weird, or
I thought the same thing, and I think the answer
the type of thing you think would get out a lot sooner, right?
And I think maybe it's just like no one thought to be like they're doing anything illegal, right? Until
what all broke this? Do you know? I didn't see it.
Like, I think coaches finally started talking. What happened. I think some of the most damning evidence is obviously his ticket purchases over the last 2 years. And the funniest one is like this broke before this past weekend. And so he had me, and we talked about this yesterday, Grant, he had two tickets, solo tickets on opposite sides of the Penn State Ohio State matchup from this past weekend. Nobody showed up for those tickets, by the way. But he had them. And, I guess you just have to use your imagination on what those could have been used for.
Yeah, I also saw it's like this guy's making $55,000 a year and he's bought $30,000 worth of tickets.
Yep. Guy's spending 60% of his salary on tickets.
We don't shame how much you can spend on tickets. We don't shame that.
This guy is equivalent to Goose in our Discord, who's spending all of his money on betting.
To all the husbands out there, you can spend as much on sports entertainment as you want. Don't let your wife tell you otherwise.
You will never match what Connor Stallions has bought.
Also, apparently there's several text conversations where he brags about giving signs to people.
Oh, really? They've got texts?
Allegedly.
That's going to be the most damning. I saw that there was also a Venmo transaction from last year where he paid or was paid by one of the other staffers. And he, you always have to give a little like note on your Venmo transaction. And he just put GA, and it was the day before the Georgia game.
Yeah.
Georgia
crazy that you just have a wild Venmo, public Venmo account.
Yeah. Right? Why would, my Venmo has been private from the jump. Like, why? Like, you get on, this is fun for anyone who's never done this. Get on your Venmo and see what all your friends are Venmoing each other back and forth. You can just see open drug deals. I guess maybe. A lot of people wouldn't see that, but like, you'll just see.
Who are you hanging out with? Who are you friends with on Venmo?
I think it links all your Facebook friends or whatever. And let me tell you, Kev, I've got a lot of Facebook friends over the past, since I've created Facebook that have done drugs, a lot of them. Now, they aren't close actual friends, but they are known acquaintances from high school and, back before we went into college. What was that saying there, Grant?
Oh, well, I thought, okay. So it says, Michigan analyst Connor Stallions bragged about giving signals to Michigan OC Josh Gattis. Gattis, who won the Browse Award for turning Michigan's offense around, leaves Michigan for Miami. And then there's like some quotes.
Pre-COVID stole opponent signals during the week watching TV copies, then flew to the game and stood next to Gattis and told him what the coverage and pressure he was getting. Yeah, that's the... So, I mean, obviously the tape don't lie, pun intended here. He's standing right next to the OC and the DC, like the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
Looking across the sideline, he sees what he sees. He's obviously like, this is his sole job is to memorize exactly what the signals mean. And then real quickly, he'll turn so that he can relay it. And then that guy can relay it into the, and I don't know if you guys saw Dion's opinion on this. He's like, you could mail him the game plan, you still got to stop it or whatever. It's like, I get
it. Like, but like, if you're gonna know I'm gonna run outside zone, you have to stop it. Sure. If you know I'm gonna run outside zone this exact fucking play,
it's gonna be pretty easy.
A lot easier as a defensive player when you're like, okay, this should be outside zone, should be outside zone, and you are leaning that way, ball is snapped, you're running that way, you get to your hole, you're getting your assignment a lot quicker, makes it a lot easier to play defense or offense too. It's like you can tell the quarterback what exactly what pressure and what coverage to expect. It's like, I know where I'm going with the ball before the ball is even snapped then. I don't have, it's, yeah, you're playing the game on easy mode. You're still playing the game, but you're playing on easy mode.
It will be very interesting to see where this goes as far as punishment, because I don't think they get out of this unscathed.
So then you got to factor in too, Harbaugh was under a different investigation.
Right.
Very recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what are they, I mean, as Drake said yesterday, he was like, you know, if I'm totally in on the side of, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, but fuck, man, if you get caught, I mean,
oh boy,
it's fucked. You guys see this one?
Yes.
Some coaches have employed.
Can you hear it or no?
I can hear it.
Go for it.
Poor psychiatrist, have you ever done that?
Oh, we got him. He's probably on suicide watch right now. We got him.
Holy shit, Dabo.
He's saying the sports psychiatrist on team is on suicide watch?
Yeah, making a joke about it. I don't know what the context.
What are the players putting this poor psychologist through that he's on?
I don't know what the context is.
Does he have a psychiatrist for the sports psychiatrist?
I don't know what the context is here of why they're asking about a sports psychiatrist. But Dabo's first response is, yeah, he's probably on suicide watch. Oh my God. Smiling as he says it. You know, I'm the kind of guy who thinks that's hilarious, right? But now in soft, you know, not everybody's like me. That had to be taken pretty poorly by.
What's a worse quote from a coach when Brian Kelly said that he was going to execute his whole team?
Oh, that quote. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard. Do you remember that one, Kev?
I think I do. Was that when.
It was after Florida State.
Find it.
2021, I think. It's like, I believe in execution.
That's like his first game, right?
Yes.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Early in the first game at LSU.
Honestly, last year's, you know, what's the upside from Brian was pretty good. It's not nearly the same. Not
nearly the same as Brian.
Right. Let me know if you can hear this.
What do you think of your team's ability to withstand Florida State's impressive comeback?
Yeah, you know, I'm in favor of execution. Maybe our entire team needs to be executed after this.
This dude stone cold turns to her and says, well, maybe our entire team needs to be executed. Dude, that's funny. If you don't laugh at that, then you've got something stuck up your ass, because that's funny.
Well, it's weird coming from Brian Kelly specifically.
He's also a weird dude.
See,
I think he's
there may or may not be a death on his hands.
I think he's a fake human being.
Wait, I'm not in the know on this.
Do you not
Brian
remember
Kelly?
You don't remember this?
He killed somebody?
He sent a kid to film practice up on a very high tower.
Oh shit.
On a windy day, and unfortunately the kid died.
I remember hearing about that. Was during our time, Kevin, wasn't it?
Yeah, because I think we stopped using those things.
Yeah.
We stopped sending
them up to a certain height when it was like over 15 or 20 mile per hour winds.
What do you call those things?
Cherry pickers.
Cherry pickers?
Or you know, just like lifts. I don't know. They call them some kind of lift.
Yeah, but we had several different types of lifts, right? You had the ones that had like the
the accordion.
Yeah, the accordion one that goes up, which is the ones that tipped over and we stopped using.
Right.
And then you have the other one that has like, I don't even know.
It's more of a crane.
Yeah, more of a crane type deal. Yeah.
I think that's more why people were like, oh, okay, Brian.
They probably shouldn't talk about killing your players or anybody in your program. I still think it's funny.
PR 101.
No one would ever get canceled. I mean, you're everybody is immune from canceling if Tyler Kluver is the determining factor. That's the world we would live in. Let's see.
Do you want some of the questions?
Oh, we might as well rapid fire a few of those since then we're going to get to. Do you guys want to do the costumes, or you want to wait for Drake? I feel like.
Shoot. I don't give a shit.
Okay, let's wait for Drake
Sunday because.
Yeah, because we need stuff for that
next week.
Yep. So let's just let's rapid fire some questions, and then we'll finish this thing with some sports betting, and then we'll call it a pod.
Okay. Let's find one here.
Anything that sparks your interest.
I had there was one question about was there any interesting hosting stories that like did you guys ever host a recruit?
Hosted several recruits, yeah.
And was there any interesting things that came out of that?
I mean, no. You take them out and like try to show them a good time.
From Kevin and I, there's not going to be any great stories on that front because we were trying to like.
Well, you have to walk this fine line. Like, you got to show the recruit a good time, but right. If you get in trouble while hosting a recruit, that's just
it's not good.
Bad news all around. So
we took
it down a little bit.
I believe we went out the night that we hosted Hockaday and Boyle, our freshman year.
Our
first year in the house, actually. So it would have been our second year. Maybe not. Maybe.
Yeah, because those guys are a couple years behind us. I think I was out with you guys. I wasn't hosting either of them.
I was not hosting either of them either, but we were.
Bo or Josie was hosting Hockaday.
Yeah. I didn't,
not too shy about having a few drinks at 18 years old.
There were some pops being thrown around.
Yeah.
I will say this, Grant, there's plenty of recruits who are very obviously hungover on the recruiting trip final meal, the breakfast on Sunday morning. And the coaches know. And it's sort of used as like a proxy, like, hey, can you handle yourself in a college town? Like, you know, like what kind of person are you? Right.
No, makes sense.
Yeah.
So another question is they want to know, is there a player this didn't make any sense. Hold on. Oh yeah. So it's players that are phenomenal, but don't look like it. So I'm guessing this is like based off of like physical
aesthetic. Yeah.
Yeah. And then players that would be the best strictly based off build.
Oh, God. Marcus Collins was built like a god. I mean, carved out of stone, number 55 on the 2013 team. And actually, he was pretty good on special teams. I don't think he ever played any defense, Kev. You could correct me if I'm wrong.
Nah.
But if you just looked at this dude, you'd be like, holy shit, that's a Division I football player right there. I looked pretty shitty, but I was damn good at my job.
I would need more time to think about that.
They said this question is specifically NFL as well. They want it. But I think the Iowa answer is better.
Sean Oakman, Baylor.
Yeah. The first one that came to mind was DK Metcalf. But
DK Metcalf is really fucking
good. Yeah, he's actually a baller.
Did Sean Oakman ever become anything in the NFL? Like,
I don't think so.
He was a good college player.
He was good, and then I think he got drafted and never
– He became a meme, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, he never made a peep in the league. Who else just looks
– Oh, there were some legal issues, it looks like it.
Oh, there's some not –
That's why he did not succeed in the league.
But. Yeah, I think he had some trouble with ladies. Yeah. Yep.
I wouldn't have been those ladies.
And then there's a lot of joke questions. Someone want to know where I'm planning on living after college? The answer is I don't know.
I wanted to know your exact address.
What is the game plan post college? What is Gary going to be doing this time next year?
Kevin, you tell me, man. I'm still trying to figure that out.
You are in your final year of college.
That is true.
And
let's knock on wood. Hopefully it goes well.
Well, that's true.
Seven years of college down the drain.
That could change very quickly.
And you're kind of in the spot where 4 years ago you were in high school trying to figure out what am I going to do for college, right? What's mm-hmm. my future look like?
Yeah.
And does that give you a similar anxiety, more anxiety, less coming out of high school?
Definitely way – it's different. It's a different kind of thing. Because I knew I was going to go to a number of colleges.
There was some structure to
it. There was some sort of okay, I'm going to go to one college in general.
Sure.
And then it's also I have four options, right?
Okay.
And then this one, it's I could go literally it just anything could happen. After you graduate, it's just it's up to you to figure it out now.
You are
officially, there's no more guidance. There's nothing pushing you along. You're the only thing that's going to push you forward in life.
And there's no, your cart officially comes off the track at that point. It could go any direction.
Yeah. And there, like, I don't have a thing right now that's like, oh, I can pick from like these jobs as opposed to like these colleges, right? So it is a little different, but we'll figure it out. So
I'm glad that you have that attitude about it.
That'll figure it out.
Me and Kevin just said at this point, well, we know we're going to fake train for the NFL for the next 4 months. So at least
just
we have
put,
that.
Just put this fucker off for a little
bit. Yeah, we're gonna extend this out another semester.
Yeah. At this time, so like October, November of our senior year, I was pretty dead set that I was not going to train for the NFL.
I remember that.
It's like, why? You know?
Why?
And then January comes around, like, meh. What else am I going to do right now?
You know, sadly, Kev, on that front, I kind of bought into that stat that always comes out every year. Like 86% of Iowa senior starters get a camp invite or whatever, you know, which includes specialists. That includes kickers, punters, long snappers. And then I thought, you know, Casey's in the league. Casey's an NFL long snapper. And my career, you know, when I look at the tape, snap for snap, I'm like, I did just as good as he did in college. What's he got?
Sure.
And then, so I legitimately thought my senior year that I had a shot, like that I was legitimately
sure
on the path.
When it comes to snapping a ball, you're as good as the best of them.
I was at one point absolutely a top 40 in the world. I would have argued a top 25 in the world at a specific craft.
And just snapping the ball.
At just purely the result of a long snap. And I thought I was going to get it done, but
genetics got the better of you.
Didn't happen, man.
Then there's some Halloween questions as well.
Yeah, hit us with those.
First one is, what is Ken Diesel going to be for Halloween?
Great question. Great question. She is going as Boo from Monsters, Inc.
Oh, that's great. Okay. That's great. What kind of house is the Kluver house with Candy? Are we king size? Are you doing apple slices?
Apple slices, Jesus!
What kind of house?
This isn't Homer Glenn.
Pre-workout packs. Some creatine.
Yeah. You come by and you get a single serve of No Explode. So here's the deal.
Passes out those stress balls. Like, here, get those on forearms, Jack. Here.
Yeah. We pass out grip trainers. Little mini 2.5 pound plates. So here's the deal. Lauren and I are the least most sort of. I wouldn't say we're anti Halloween. She is for sure. But before Ken Diesel came along, for the last 5 years that we've lived together, 6 years, we're the house that turns the lights off, shuts the curtains, make sure we're not downstairs where the TV light can be seen. We don't want any chance that someone's ringing our doorbell. And we just go upstairs and watch TV. Like we don't leave candy out. We don't decorate. We don't,
just leave candy out.
We don't watch scary movies. We don't participate in Halloween at all. But now we have a munchkin, and you can't deny a child from their childhood of, you know, celebrations traditions, getting to dress up with your friends.
You just like denying all the other kids in the neighborhood the traditions of going and getting candy from their fucking neighbors.
But what is our one house? You know, they're still going to go find as many houses as they can with candy.
It's all about efficiency.
Sure.
You want a candy dense neighborhood.
Sure. And I'm not contributing to that. And I'll be honest, Kev, I sleep good at night.
I will say
I hope you get egged this year.
When I was a trick or treater, I also looked very high. Like I looked down upon for the other 364 days a year, the houses that did not,
give out candy,
or that gave out bad candy.
Sure. Well, that's even maybe worse, right? You decided to participate and then you still fucked up.
Just give out like
bunch. So anyway, Ken's going to be Boo. We bought her a little, you know, like a little stuffy of Sully. And for the last 2 days, she's been like giving it kisses. It's so cute. And yeah, very simple outfit, right? She's not going to remember this one, but a cute outfit. And maybe we'll show some pictures.
And then the next question is, so like among the four of us, mm-hmm. who has the highest chance of survival in like the original Saw movie or like in like a Saw trap room?
Never watched Saw.
I have seen Saw, several of them.
I've only seen the first one.
I'm going to go with Drake on this one. And I think that's a pretty easy answer. Like, he's the most psychotic. I think if he gets a limb literally sawed off of his body, I think he finds a way mentally to get through that. I'll be honest. Some of the Saw shit, even Saw, like, fucked me up a little bit. I do not like scary movies or like gory shit like that.
So I was going to ask, like, do you have like a spooky movie you like?
No.
So I'm guessing it's no.
I do not watch horror movies. I do not watch scary movies. When I was 13, and maybe this is from when long story short, I went to a birthday party, an overnight birthday party. When I was 12, 11 or 12, we stayed up all night. I drank 27 cans of Mountain Dew. That's not a joke. We had a competition. I drank 27 cans of Mountain Dew as an 11-year-old. We watched When a Stranger Calls. It scared the absolute piss out of me, which there was a lot of because I had a lot of Mountain Dew inside of me. And basically since that moment, I said, you know what? I'm good on the scary movies.
The 1979 classic or the 2006 revamp?
The 2006 revamp.
Okay.
I think.
I've never even heard of this movie.
Dude, watch it.
Does this ring a bell?
Yeah. Dude, it scared the shit out of me.
Kevin, what about you?
Not a huge horror movie fan myself. I feel like they are just poor quality movies. But I always thought the Insidious movies were solid, though.
Yeah. Are you favorable on Halloween, though? Like, I'm not getting a Clover likes Halloween vibe from him.
I was never a huge Halloween guy myself, but I give out candy to the kids at least.
Yeah, I mean that's something.
Good guy, Kev. Good guy, Kev.
Yeah. And that's, we got just a bunch of like joke questions.
Yeah, just a bunch of bullshit.
We probably can't.
Like, what's like? Somebody asked, like, what order would we be in a human centipede? And then someone asked, well, what's the correct nutritional balance for a human centipede creature? And how many what was the caloric need of such a creature? And this is the kind of shit that you can find in the Discord if you sign up for the Patreon. Patreon.com/washedupwalkons. All of the proceeds, upgrades, annual subscriptions, re-ups on the Patreon this October, 100% of the proceeds, not 50, 100 go to the children of UI Children's Hospital. Just saying.
Big deal.
That's all I got.
Go read about the human centipede on there.
Oh, and then you get access to the Discord where you can talk to all the sickos. You get early access. You get ad-free listening on our podcast. You get discounts on the merchandise. Christmas holiday run will be coming out in the next probably 2 or 3 weeks, so we can get all that sent out by Christmas this year. And your money goes to a great cause. So, yeah. Let's see. Should we finish with some picks quick?
I was going to say, do we want to advertise a separate thing as well? If you know what I'm talking about,
the meetup.
Yeah, do we want to talk about
it? Absolutely. Yeah, let's pump that quick. Okay. We have locked in on the date for the Hops by a Million release. It's going to be November 10th. Is that correct? Friday, November 10th.
Yes.
6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at Back Pocket Brewery in Coralville, Iowa, home of Kevin Ward. And we encourage you to come by, purchase, and consume as many Hops by a Million, and there's the can that you'll have, as you possibly can, responsibly. Help us sell some beer. Help us make some money for the kids. Proceeds of this also go into the Children's Hospital. And all around, just, you know, Drake's actually flying back for this event. He's missing a fight that he was offered to be at this event. He said that he did not want to podcast from this event. I think that's maybe missing an opportunity, but maybe we'll continue to talk about that. But you're going to get a chance to meet and greet, take pictures, get autographs. Why you'd want all that, I don't know. More importantly, just hang out with us and drink some Hops by a Million.
It's drinking for charity.
It is.
Proceeds go to the Children's Hospital. So
the more you drink, the more gifts the children get. Let's finish with some picks. How about that, huh?
DJ Kevin! Yes!
Yeah. All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
decent weekend last weekend.
Yeah. I think the walk-ons as a whole had a solid weekend. So let's see if we can follow it up here. So I need a ruling. I need an official ruling.
Okay.
I texted y'all Sunday night.
Yep.
Ohio State minus 14 at Wisconsin.
Yep.
It's currently 14.5.
Oh, then you get the current line.
I was gonna say I'd give you 14. If like I was gonna give you what you texted me. So.
Oh, but we're making the pick now. He could.
What? But I said lock it in on Sunday. 14.
Oh, wait a second. Yeah.
You said lock it in.
Give him 14. Sorry, I thought you were going the other way on it. I was like, wait, it's a better line. No, it's not a better line.
Much worse line. Could be a make or break line. Right
there. They gave you the little hook there. No, I'll give you 14 on that for sure.
Yeah, Ohio State minus 14. It's 14.5 right now. I think you're good on it either way, but I'm going to make sure I get my half a point. Ohio State's playing better football. Wisconsin is average football team. They average need some last second heroics to beat a bad Illinois team. I think Ohio State rolls in there and kind of just stomps over them. Then I got Nebraska minus 2.5 at home in Purdue. Nebraska's looking better. They didn't have a great week last week, but Purdue is also not looking good. Basically, I don't know. I think Nebraska wins by two. Big Ten West is a shit show, but bad. I think Nebraska might have a little bit of belief that they can somehow win the West this year, which they do. They have the control if they win out.
Oh, did you guys see the 7-way tie potential
for
the
Big Ten West? That. Yeah.
No.
There's potential.
There's an opportunity where everyone goes 3-3.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it would be unbelievable.
That would be the way to end the West.
I think technically Purdue gets to Indianapolis, I was seeing, through like a technicality, but I could be wrong.
Love that.
So I just hate the fact that in the last couple of years we had Purdue go to the Big Ten Championship. Like Northwestern went to it twice.
Yeah.
What the hell is this division?
It's no longer in about 2 months, so there you go.
What was the official line there? Sorry?
2.5.
2.5.
Nebraska minus 2.5. And then I am going to go I'm going to go out east, and I'm going to Florida State minus 20.5 versus Wake Forest.
I thought about it. I like that.
I believe that's your first week with no totals.
Yeah, Kevin likes the old over-unders.
I like the unders.
Just a fun stat.
Yes.
I like the spreads. I'm going to start with Oklahoma minus 10 at Kansas.
Ooh.
I am picking several away teams this evening, something that could be dangerous.
On purpose or just how it worked out?
Just how it worked out.
Okay.
Oklahoma minus 10 is what I'm seeing. I see on DraftKings it's actually minus 9. We'll take the minus 10.
They had a close game versus Central Florida last week.
They did. I have this weird feeling that Oklahoma makes a little run at it all this year.
Oh, you're saying national title for Oklahoma?
I don't think they win it, but I think they're competitive and they make the playoff.
So you're saying 13-0 Big 12 champs, the Oklahoma Sooners?
Yeah, that's what I'm feeling right now.
Okay.
We're then going to go down to a team that I think I've bet on before. I know I bet on the Louisville Cardinal, but we're taking Duke plus 4 at Louisville. I just think that these two teams are like pretty evenly matched. I think it's closer than 4 points. I think similarly to how last week Minnesota was, I think I was minus 3.5 or minus 2.5. I actually thought that Minnesota was going to cover that line. They did end up covering, but I felt like they were going to be slide within it and Iowa was going to win. Obviously, that didn't happen. I think something similar here, something like, you know, something weird, 19-17, something like that, 28-26, some weird like 2-point victory. And then we'll go down. What?
I said, do you know if Riley Leonard is playing yet?
It doesn't matter.
Did that impact your decision?
No. Okay. And then we'll go Utah, Oregon. And I know that Utah is a good football team. Like they are. And again, I'm taking the away team. I'm taking Oregon minus 6.5 here at Utah. And by your smile, Grant, I feel like you've gone the other way on this, which I enjoy. So, you know, those are my three picks, and I'd love for you to give us yours.
Wait, I'm sorry. So you did Oregon? Sorry.
Yes, I did. Oregon minus 6.5.
Clover, did you just get this Amber Alert?
I did. What is this? Autistic nonverbal.
Someone in Des Moines. Yeah.
Autistic nonverbal 14-year-old. I'm right here.
It's a family's missing their child, Clover.
Oh, it's a female, Nina Williams.
Please contact the authorities if you have any information as to where the child is.
Parent Blue, if anybody knows where this is, you probably got it. Most of our listeners are from. There's Kevin. You disappeared for a second. Is that a bad one? You want me to take that one out?
You do whatever you want, man. I give up on this show.
We're an hour and 5 minutes in. Who knows how many people actually heard it? Suspect Jessica Will. Oh, there's actually a suspect. Wow.
The non custodial parent.
Nina's a black female, 5'9", 262 pounds. Last seen wearing a navy blue jogging suit. And blue tennis shoes.
What is she doing with a jogging suit? She ain't doing no jogging.
I was just going to say, she... fuck, that's wild. What are your picks, Grant?
So I had a list of four, and Utah was one of them. Should I just avoid the... So we talk about more games?
Do what you want.
No, man. If you like them, pick them.
Try and get dubs.
Okay, well, I'll figure it out as I go.
I like the contrarian picks, too, if you're on the other side of it.
It's fun, though. It is fun that way.
Okay, the first one I have, I'm going to take Kentucky. I have them plus 3.5.
I like that pick. I was kind of going with that pick, too.
Kentucky is coming off of a bye. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for Tennessee, who just had a tough game against Alabama. I'm assuming they're going to be a little bit worn out from that one. Also, I just think Kentucky's been playing really well at home this year. And I think they have a sneaky good team. They have one of the best running backs in the country, Ray Davis. He's been an absolute stud, but not a lot of people have been talking about him. So I'm going to take Kentucky plus 3.5 there. Also, shout out Coach Stoops. Are we going to play Kentucky again this year in a bowl game? Are we going to go trilogy?
Could happen.
I hope so.
It'd be a funny little side storyline there. But I'm also going to
take Outback Bowl.
Ooh, yeah, we are. But is it called the Outback anymore? I don't think it is.
It's not anymore. No, it's the somebody sponsored Tampa Bay Bowl.
Wow. I'm going to go Utah then, plus 6.5. I am such a big fan of Coach Kyle Whittingham and his team there. I don't know how he does it. It's like whoever he puts out there, it works. I think Utah is also a very underrated home environment in college football. I think it is. This game is slated for 6 p.m., I want to say. So I think it is a night game in Utah. So I like their team. I'm going to go Utah plus 6.5 there. And then lastly, I'm going to go Thursday night again and test my luck. And I'm going to go Virginia Tech minus 3 there. So that is what did you not like?
Good. Virginia no. Pick? Good picks. Oh. Good picks. So I just might.
What?
My joke about the Amber Alert is mild. It's level one. It's a sweet barbecue at Honey Barbecue compared to the joke that it was in the Discord right now by a person I will not out, but just check the barracks thread.
I'm not gonna
just check the barracks.
I don't think I can.
Did you see it?
Can I read it?
You gotta have a little fun in life. Obviously it's a very serious situation, right? We want children found and not taken by people.
Oh, good Lord.
And we'll end it with...
Oh, no.
I didn't even get it for a second.
That's not good.
Actually, it's a pretty good joke. we're going to sign off there. I think Kevin's holding back laughter. Ox by a million. Hops by a million. And we'll talk to you next time. Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.